Scott, we are back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. Last week, we had a little bit of a sadder tone to us just because we feared that cancellations, delays, worry around coronavirus was going to dabble into sports and the sports that we love. And, you know, a couple days after our last recording, the Big Ten announced in college football, hey, we're playing conference-only slate. So that might be the first domino to fall. I know you hinted at last week Ivy League being the first domino. I guess the Big Ten's more of the first big domino. Then the Ivy League also said, hey, we're not doing it at all. We're canceling. So conference-only would obviously be better than no season at all. But SEC, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC? Should name them first
because
obviously
going.
They're the most elite, so I should have named them first.
We know where you're going sports. With this. Really, Alex, though, I'm going to go ahead and take your direction and go with a positive spin on it. We are 1 week closer to some of these professional leagues getting going. Right now, baseball is – they're dealing with some stuff, but they're powering through right now. The NBA, the players are all there into the clean site, by the way. We're not calling it a bubble anymore. The clean site in Orlando, and they are prepping ever closer. We're about 2 weeks away from that getting started. We're just over a week and a half away from baseball getting started. The MLS has restarted.
Oh, man, thank God the MLS is back.
Hey, man, they have matches on at like 9 a.m. some days. It's great to throw it up on the TV while you're working from home and have something that isn't talking heads talking about the same thing over and over again. Are you watching First Take or are you watching MLS?
Oh, I'm just running podcast live streams only.
That's probably a smart move, actually. That's probably the best
that's
move
all
out
I do
there,
right now. You know how sometimes this is unsports related real quick, but I don't want to give any free pub here to the
I'll bleep out the name of the beer.
There you go, to the beer. I'll just say that it's a Rocky Mountain brand.
I'll have a light beer, please. Like in the commercials where the guy always walks up and is like,
oh yeah, that's right,
because everybody says that at a bar.
I just took a huge sip of this one. I was like, it's Monday, so it's not like I have gone days without drinking, but this one was the first one of the night. And I needed it so bad, I might have to break a couple times mid-show and let you just solo it. And I'm going to sit back and drink beer because they're going down smooth right now.
It hits a little different on this Monday night is what you're saying.
It does. I just wanted to say, you know, not all is bad.
Not all is bad. And as I just hinted with some of this positivity going forward, right, we're trying to strike a balance. As I said last week, we're the guys in the middle here. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that has to be talked about, but we're going to try and find something on the other end of that too, so that we're not all doom or not all sunshine and rainbows, even though I had to kind of bring you down personally a little bit the other day. You're riding a little too high, I think,
on some
of this stuff. So this bubble thing, I don't know how much you've been able to see. Clean site situation. So the NBA, the players fly in on their charters, right? They got into Orlando. And they've checked into their Disney resort. Some of them, they're spread out all over the place. The 76ers I saw are at the Grand Floridian. There's some teams at the Yacht Club Resort. I mean, they're kind of spread out across the Disney campus. And this is almost like if you took guys like me and you and like a bunch of our other friends and put us all into like a dorm type atmosphere at our ages now. And it's just like, okay, go. But also in the world of a pandemic where you can't just go do anything, you literally have to stay on campus, quote unquote.
It's like summer camp.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it feels like.
It literally is like summer camp.
Well, for 30-year-olds.
I read about it. They have all these yard games like cornhole and shuffleboard. I can't remember the other stuff, but they're trying to make it fun and give them activities to do midday. And I'm thinking to myself, how much fun would that be? Now, it would get old.
Yeah, we're talking be fun. Yeah, 2 months of it. It might be a bit much.
You might be done with that after a long weekend. Mm-hmm, but are they allowed to drink beer and hang out? Or what are the rules on nightlife? I don't mean going clubbing, but can I sit out front and bet my buddies playing cornhole and listen to music and drink beer?
based off of some of the videos that I've seen so far, there was a player whose name I can't remember, a lesser known guy that already lost a bet to Chris Paul on a game of cornhole.
I told you. Yeah. Why would you not? A bunch of guys getting together with no women, ball and chain, if you will, around. No one containing their pocketbooks when Lord knows they have big, deep pockets.
We watched The Last Dance. Remember how much they were gambling in that one in a regular environment? I mean, the amount of card games and stuff like now. They do have to throw away the cards every time when they're done with them. You know, that's
Jordan
part of the rules.
Jordan doesn't have a gambling problem, though. Scotty is a competition problem.
That's true. That is true. That is true.
I love that. That's my line right there.
But it's just been fascinating to kind of see. I mean, Disney is a thing that you and I know. Like, we know. We don't know, honestly, and this has shed a little more light into it, what life is like on the road for these NBA teams. Apparently, they're staying at, you know, Ritz-Carlton's in the nicest rooms, as evidenced by Rajon Rondo not being pleased with his room at a very nice Disney resort and comparing it to a Motel 6, which I don't know if he's ever stayed in a Motel 6 or any of those lower-end hotels, but... That ain't what he was staying in.
So one spring break, we stayed in a Motel 6, my one and only Motel 6 experience. And I'll say, I thought it was a night. We were in Cocoa Beach, thought it was pretty nice, but we had like
clean
people. Kind of. But we had like, I guess it was clean, but we had like 8 people per room. And one of my buddies decides to bring his dog, which is a horrible idea.
Oh, no.
And the cleaning lady opened the door the next morning, and the dog naturally was in an environment she didn't recognize, like tries to attack. Everything was fine, but got kicked out. And I might be done now. I think I had like a 10-year ban from Motel 6s.
Wow, statute of limitations expired on the... show cause on... it's like coaches that get fired for recruiting violations or whatever.
Well, so the thing was, I was like, don't worry. You know, they're like, I'm signing these papers. Keep in mind, it's not my dog. I didn't do anything wrong, right. But I was in the room. We had extra people. It was a whole 9. So pretty much...
You're guilty by proxy.
Exactly. Pretty much, I had to sign some papers saying, like, I'm not allowed at any Motel 6. And I was like, guys, that's fine. I won't be back. It's... I was like, I'm not coming back. I don't need to sign this. I'm not coming. I promise.
It's not like you're banned from the Marriott, you know? It's
exactly.
Like, all right.
I'll keep myself away. No problem.
My bad. I think I can manage this, but I have seen, and this would be something for anybody, I guess, that has done the Disney deal before enough to kind of be able to look at some of the pictures and know where there are. Like I saw Ben Simmons fishing the other day and I was like, oh, he's in the Seven Seas Lagoon. Like the one that is like in between the resorts and the Magic Kingdom. Cause you can see the Contemporary Resort in the background. And I was like, okay, I know exactly where he is fishing. And I probably wouldn't fish in that lake, but it's like a man-made lagoon. It's kind of weird that they have.
No, he pulled out a fish that was like, I mean, he's a large guy, but it looked the size of someone's hand.
He's not the only one. Apparently a bunch of dudes have been fishing, and then it's almost like, Alex, one of the things that I have found that I've done is we're entering like phase 2 of quarantine almost right now kind of deal, where it's not quite as bad as it was the first time, of course, but we're still kind of in this limbo where there's not a whole lot to do normal. So we're still trying to get creative. And like, so I've been taking pride in finding new little things to keep things fresh. Like these guys, they're whatever quarantine they were doing before, like this is all fresh and new to them. So they're probably kind of fired up right now for this like opening week. And we'll see how long this lasts, you know, how long this feeling of excitement.
Out. They're going to fizzle out. Cause I mean, most of these guys that were quarantining at their house have immaculate houses. They have pools. They have private gyms they have access to. So they're not going to the Bailey's that I go to that got shut down, you know, that
true.
The doors are locked and I'm not allowed to go in. These guys are going with a private trainer that they get to pretty much keep things normal. You know, they might not go out to their favorite restaurant, but they still get to go do their daily activities.
For the dudes that lived in like the North though, where it's been cold for so long, you know, they gotta be happy. I mean, I don't know if anybody really wants to be outside in Orlando this time of the year, but it's a little different. So I'm fascinated by it. Like, what would you do right now if you were in the clean site? Like, what would be your activity of choice if you're kicking it with the guys while we're waiting for things to ramp back up?
Oh, I'd be on one of those outdoor. Well, God, it's so hot out right now. Depends if I could find something to gamble on in a group setting, like, you know, playing cornhole, like you said, Chris Paul was, or bags if you're a Midwesterner. Did you call them bags in college?
No, not in Ohio. That was like a Chicago thing. I didn't know anybody outside of Wisconsin and Chicago that really did.
Bigs.
Yeah.
Call it bigs.
That was a big thing. I heard it on a podcast this morning where they're talking about it. And the woman who was reporting, because she's in the clean site, she was talking about cornhole. And she's like, yeah, apparently, like, it's also called bags some places. So, like, it's really starting to. We had it here first a couple of weeks ago, but now it's really starting to spread, I guess.
Okay, so I'm allowed to call it cornhole on this podcast, and everyone's going to know what it is, apparently, unless they're a Chicago person.
Yeah, exactly.
I said cornhole one time in front of my grandpa, like, yeah, I got some my own custom cornhole boards for my birthday back in college. And he's like, what? Describe to me cornhole. He's like, oh, well, we had a different meaning when I was younger. I was like, gotcha.
Yeah, don't need to elaborate, Grandpa.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I won't. I won't.
I'll take your word for it.
To go back to your question, I'm getting us off the tracks today. But to go back to your question, I would definitely be playing. I love shuffleboard. That is not an old man's game. That is a phenomenal game. Okay. Even the hand shuffleboard, if they had it. But the outdoor shuffleboard game is a blast. I'd be gambling on that or cornhole for sure. What about you?
I'd definitely be partaking in a similar thing. I'd definitely try and find a fishing rod and go out there and just throw a line in. I mean, it can't be that hard to catch a fish in this man-made lagoon, I'm imagining. So
yeah.
As evidenced by a bunch of these amateur fishermen that are, you know, hooking things left and right. So I'd do that probably a little bit. I'd just like explore a little bit of the, I know you're not, I guess there are some rules as to where you're supposed to go and not supposed to go and stuff like that, but yeah, you know, I'd kind of walk around. You know, Disney World is huge, right? And there's all sorts of different things and different resorts and different. There's a lot going on.
Do they have
on
access
there.
To Disney Springs or whatever they call it nowadays?
That's a good question.
It used to be called.
It used to be Downtown Disney when we were.
Yeah.
And now it's Disney Springs. I think they can go there and like eat and stuff.
I'll tell you right now, Disney Springs. I went there last year with, you know, my wife's family. They're huge Disney people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not my cup of tea. But I went to Disney Springs and had a great time. They have good restaurants, nice little nightlife feel, but it's got the Disney, you know.
We'll put it this way. When I was a kid and we used to go and do Disney trips, my parents would always do like the opening night or whatever we'd be down there. A lot of times it'd always be like the Downtown Disney night because it's the perfect like, okay, let's get out of the hotel. Let's just go walk around. Let's kill a couple of hours. And we, outside of like dinner, you don't even necessarily have to spend money. Like we never went into like the World of Disney store and had to get souvenirs or whatever. I mean, the biggest thing we'd get, it might be ice cream at the end of the night type thing. But it's just,
right.
It's just
easy
like kind of
to entertain there.
It's just, there's a lot to see. There's a lot to do and walk around and stuff like that. And I'm sure I'd have to double check to see if they're actually allowed to go over there. But I'm pretty sure they are. I'm pretty sure I heard that they're able to do that. So I don't know. Fascinating to see.
Yeah, it's funny. It's called the happiest place on earth.
But you're not much of a Disney guy, are you?
No. Not at all. I happen to feel like it is one of the least happy places on earth, actually, because you go there. It's an absolute rat race. Everything. I mean, like, let's say you go to Disney World at this age or whatever it's called, where Cinderella's castle is. What's that?
Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
Magic Kingdom. There's not like roller coasters. It's an absolute zoo. There's people everywhere. Kids are crying. Depending on the time of year, it's hot as hell in Orlando. It's just too much. It's not for me. Like, I brought my kid there when he was like 1.5. He loved it. I loved how much he loved it, and I was having a blast watching him love it. But after about 3 hours, it's like, all right, I got to get out of here. It's just, there's too much going on. It's packed. You got to wait in lines. It's a whole lot of waiting in lines, even if you get the fast pass. I mean, you're still waiting 30 minutes in a line. It is not for me. Whatsoever.
You don't get caught up in the mystique of being in this other world, then, is what you're saying anymore.
Correct. It is another world for sure. It's just another world of frustration, tears from kids, money pit, you name it. It's not my gig.
See,
I did Disney camp growing up and Fort Wilderness. Yeah, I exclude from my opinion that I just previously stated. I love Fort Wilderness. I'd go Disney camping, if you'll call it that. I would go Disney camping any weekend that you'd invite me. It's a blast.
I know my brother's done Fort Wilderness. I never stayed there. I've stayed at the Wilderness Lodge, which is one of the higher end resorts, which is made to feel rustic, but obviously it's very high end. So
yeah,
it's very nice in there. But I don't know. I love the whole, like, you enter the Walt Disney World campus and you're just like in this unique community that is cut off from the craziness.
When was the last time
Orlando?
You went, Scott? I got to cut you off. When was the last time you went? How old were you?
21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I went as an adult. Yeah. I went a couple times. I've gone probably just as many times over the age of 13 as I have gone under the age of 13.
And you don't think the whole process is just a pain in the ass from parking to getting around and waiting in lines?
I mean, it's like there are certain things like I just find that they're like worth waiting. Yeah, trust me. Do I walk up to the certain ride and see that it's a 200-minute wait and I say, yeah, that's not worth it? Yeah, I'm going to say that. But yeah,
I feel like such a Scrooge right now because Disney is supposed to be, when you see the look on my mother-in-law's face when she's up in front of Disney, you literally would think it's like the creme de la creme, best thing in the whole world. She's like a little kid all over again. And that's very cool. Slightly envious of that because I know I'm going to have to do a couple more Disney trips for a couple more years.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time getting excited for any of them.
So do you like roller coasters and stuff? Like, do you like Universal Orlando or?
No, none of that.
Wild Adventures, Six Flags, none of that stuff? You don't get
none
like that thrill
I have
of-
grown. When I was little, I was scared of roller coasters.
I think most kids are.
And then on our in high school, when we did whatever trip that's called, Grad Bash or something. Grad Night.
Where'd you go, Disney or Universal?
We went to Universal. Had a blast Grad Bash, because the thing shut down, so there's no wait in any of the lines. The most you wait is 15 minutes. So I had a blast doing that. I was like, oh, roller coasters are fun, but I am not a guy that's going to go pay money to do that. Some people love the thrill, like, you know, and I get that. It's part. I get the roller coaster thing, but Disney doesn't quite. I guess I'm mainly saying Magic Kingdom because I went to Epcot and had a.
Yeah, no, ball. I think you should probably go to. I mean, you can't take Beckett, your, you know, not quite 2 year old, to Epcot. He's just not going to really appreciate that.
We went to Epcot and drank Around the World, and I had a blast. So I take all my comments back. I'm going to qualify that.
Okay.
As Magic Kingdom.
I get where you're coming from. Yeah, because Magic Kingdom is more often than not a shit show. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have said that. Magic Kingdom is not for me.
In any, pretty much any time of the year, it's very crowded. It's very hard to. It's just a lot going on, but yeah. It's apparently it's been very quiet as it's reopened in the last week.
I
from
bet.
What
well,
I've heard.
I'm glad we talked that out. We were able to hash it out.
Yeah, we did.
It down to my Disney feelings and opinions. And you know, they always do such a good job keeping everything prim and proper and pristine. Yeah. You have to admire that.
And I know we have some Disney fans that listen to this podcast, so they'll hopefully not come chirping at you in the mentions now because hear how we got to this eventual.
Yeah. I hope they listened all the way through to at least hear that I'm taking a couple of those places off my hit list.
It is a shame that I don't think that the players are supposed to go to the parks because that could lead to some great content too, like Joel Embiid like going on Splash Mountain or something like that would be very entertaining.
It'd be awesome. They should give them a day to where they have like an hour or so where
after the park closes type deal, right. You know, like kind of like a Grad Bash or Grad
you get a couple hours. Like the Eastern Conference gets these 3 hours on Friday night. They allow time to clean prior, and then I don't know,
it's an idea.
That'd be fun.
That might be a little too advanced right now. They're just trying to figure out how to like keep these guys put and free of COVID so that they can like actually play these basketball games, which is the whole reason why they're down there. But hey, we're getting closer. They're all down there. And we're every week, we're just sitting here doing kind of the countdown and hoping that we don't come on this show and say, well, this got shut down. So that's a good step in the right direction. as far as the NBA stuff. And I would encourage anybody to follow. There's a Twitter account called NBA Bubble Life. Matisse Thybulle of the 76ers, by the way, is vlogging a lot of the stuff. I watched one of his videos today. It was very entertaining. Seeing just the various things, like he went, like they got like a snack bag at one point, and he's just like going through. He's like, "Yep, yep, nope, yep, yeah." As he like divvied it out in his own couch.
Yeah, you just get a nice inside feel for these guys because they're forced to be human so much more, and they're bored. They're going to be producing a lot more content. I feel like. What's that called? NBA Bubble Life.
NBA Bubble Life is the account on Twitter. I do believe.
Okay, I'm on it right now. There it is.
Are you on it? Okay, you found it. All right, good. Yeah. Yeah, the it's
yeah, JJ Redick post practice shotgunning a beer.
Yeah, yeah. See, like that stuff. I'm here for the guys that are embracing this, even if it doesn't last the whole time. Yeah, they're gonna play. They're gonna be playing games soon enough, and it's gonna filter down to where some of these teams get eliminated pretty soon. So, and then they're gonna be focusing on playoffs, and it's gonna be more important than the snacks they're getting in the room, right? So, I'm enjoying this right now while it's happening.
Yeah. No, this looks. They're okay, so that my first three scrolls have been alcohol related. So far they're having
fun. Drinking. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having fun.
I mean, if you're of age, which I would say the majority of the guys at the NBA are, then yeah, let's have a little fun with this thing.
Yeah. Oh, they look like they're having it. Here's some bass. You're right. These guys are having fun. Man, Boban just can't go anywhere and look normal.
No, well, he's not a normal looking guy.
He is an absolute ogre.
Yeah.
He is.
He's like waving to Tobias Harris through the window at one point, like with a mask on, like looking like Lurch. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, well, hey, just for all our listeners, if you don't follow, let me just say, this is worth it. This is cool, yeah. Scott. Yeah. You're right. I'm glad this is out there because it's an easy way to follow a lot of these pictures these guys are putting out there.
And for the most part, like we said, we're in a time that we need positive, fun, lighthearted things to distract us from real world stuff, even if it's just for 15 seconds at a time. And that's a great way to do it, I think, in a sports context.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what do you say? I know you have a get off my lawn.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, do you mind if I take the floor here for a moment?
Yeah,
I know. Here I go talking about let's be positive, and now I'm going to shift gears into a negative thing. But so I in a period of time, I work in college athletics. We're scrambling for some content, right? Like we burned a bunch of ideas back in the late spring in order to fill the time in which games should have been played but weren't played. And now we're in the summertime, which is traditionally slower, but these team accounts are still trying to post stuff. So my alma mater, Xavier, their basketball account is their most followed one, and they've been just doing kind of a season look back of great moments and stuff and various other things on there to keep content coming out. And so they posted a couple days ago a couple of pictures, and you know, it was like a throwback to the big win over Seton Hall in Newark this year. And that was huge because Seton Hall was ranked top 10 of the country at the time. Xavier wasn't playing particularly well, and they went and ran him out of their own gym. Like it was one of those, like, who are these guys and what did they do with Xavier basketball team? Because they weren't playing. They were playing so much better than they had played up to that point. And Xavier has a thing, and I've seen a couple other schools do it, and I've adopted it now for JU as well, is a big a win on the road they call a roadkill. And so they posted the thing. It's like a throwback to our roadkill in Newark or whatever. This guy, Joey Waller, he's an ABC
you
radio.
You have been calling people at last week you called out.
I deleted her
carry
name,
on
but yeah
carry on
go listen to last week's episode if you want to hear that one. So Joey Waller,
Feldman. Katie Feldman.
Yeah, Katie Feldman. Oh, look at you remembering that.
Well, I knew she was Bruce Feldman in my head. Yeah, that's remember right, that's her right. Yeah, so anyway, who are you calling out? Say her name.
All right.
Again, or his name again?
Joey Waller, he's the play-by-play voice of the Wagner men's basketball team. They're on Long Island. He is a Seton Hall grad, and he quote tweets it, and he goes, wow, pretty unprofessional of a official school account to be referring to an opponent by this. And then like tags the Big East Conference, all this other stuff. So people are like, what? So like some Xavier people are like, what are you talking about, man? And so Seton Hall, a local radio station around there, ends up responding to the Xavier tweet with a couple pictures from Seton Hall's win in Cincinnati later on that year and was like, tongue in cheek, they're like, throwback to our roadkill type thing. And so the Xavier basketball account responds to that tweet and says, I hope you didn't get a tongue lashing from Joey Waller like we did over your phrasing. So fun stuff there.
That's great.
And he comes out and he's like, oh, you're just going to keep hiding behind your account, blah, blah, blah. And so the Xavier's got
Who's this guy?
This guy, he's a play-by-play guy for Wagner, but he's defending.
But he's Seton Hall.
Yeah, this would be like me on my official account
defending Xavier.
Defending Xavier like over the top, and people would be like, "Why does the Jacksonville Dolphins play-by-play?"
Right.
You know. So he the director of basketball administration. He's an associate AD now. Mario Mercurio is his name. Good dude. He's been at Xavier for forever. Xavier grad. Very active on Twitter. He's good. And he's like, you know, hey, if you're willing to discuss this, I'm more than willing to discuss with you as to why this isn't a big deal or your egregious overreaction to our tweet type thing. And so they went back and forth a little bit and he just went, this Joey guy, he didn't like totally double debt, but he's just like, how was I supposed to know that like you guys use this term to describe wins and not like you weren't using it to disparage us, Seton Hall, this whole thing. I'm like, all right, dude, like, you were wrong.
First of all, even if you were disparaging Seton Hall, who gives a shit? It's a sporting event, and we don't like Seton Hall. Like, that's like Florida State saying something offensive about Florida. It's not a person. You're not saying anything threatening. You're just like, hey, great win when we – hey, remember when we – throwback Thursday, remember when we kicked the Gators' ass? Gator fans should be offended if they lose. We were trying to offend them, you know?
That was like the whole thing. And like Xavier didn't tag like Seton Hall men's basketball in this or anything like that. They're just like, hey, remember when we beat Seton Hall and got a roadkill? Like, that's fun. It was literally content for Xavier fans only. And this guy comes from the rafters and thinks that we were like, that the account was calling Seton Hall like a dead animal on the road. And it's like, no, this is what they use.
And even if so, well, what's he... Why is he calling that unprofessional? Even if that was the goal.
Exactly. So Joey Waller, get off my lawn, man. Like, find something else to get all worked up about and quit taking it out on.
Here he is.
All the responses to him too are just like, dude, this is sports. Like, why are you so upset about this? This is how this works. He just seems like a real fun guy. Like,
I'm reading it right now. This guy's an absolute prick. So you know how the premise of our show is sit on a couch, drink some beer, and talk about sports? I never want the guy on the couch with me.
No.
That's what this podcast, I mean, this segment should get renamed to. You're not invited to the couch.
Yeah,
we need to think of something creative.
This is official. Joey Waller is not welcome on this show ever because he wouldn't get it and he wouldn't be able to play along.
Should we start giving Joey Waller awards? Like, that's a new segment. Maybe a new segment alert. Woo, 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 woo.
And I'm just going to type in his name and see if he Dan Dockages it and like searches himself on Twitter at any point.
Oh, probably, yeah. The Joey Waller. I like that. So next week, we're going to have a Joey Waller award.
Okay,
we have to.
All right.
It can die for all I care eventually. But next week, I want one of us to come up with a Joey Waller.
Okay. That works. That works for me.
We'll make it a verb.
Joey Waller, man. Don't be Joey.
Don't be Joey.
That's it. I had to get it off my chest. I feel better now.
That's a really good one. You've had two good ones in a row.
Thanks.
And when I heard you had two get off my lawns 2 weeks in a row, I was like, man, Scott, you're getting a little cranky over here, a little curmudgeon-ish.
It's the time we're in, Alex. I mean, there is a lot of stuff to get mad about, and I'm just choosing to get somewhat peeved about non-essential things, and then using my platform on this podcast to rant about them for a while. So maybe not that indifferent than what Joey actually did. It's just I'm mad at Joey for what.
Yeah, I'd say those are very valid, though.
All right. Yeah. Good. I appreciate that. Shall we move on to our cold as ice segment now?
Yes, I would love that.
And cold as ice.
Go ahead.
Brought to you by Ice Mule Coolers. Of course, we're still doing our show from our mobile Ice Mule Coolers studios as we continue to ride out this pandemic. But we're glad for Zoom bringing us together and for Ice Mule Coolers for keeping our drinks cold that we enjoy on this show every week. Alex really enjoys really enjoying his beer here tonight. And
mine's empty right now. I told you it would be.
Okay, so maybe while I finish this ad read, he'll go run and get another beer. So we'll time him and see how quickly he can get back. But just a reminder to you, since you want to keep your beers cold or whatever drinks you're enjoying throughout the rest of this warm, hot summer, wherever you may be, I learned in Montana, last week I learned this, in Montana, it's in the 90s right now. So even in Montana, they need ice meal coolers as they're doing things outside in order to keep their drinks cold. Don't forget, SportsBar15 is the promo code, 15% off at checkout if you use that promo code. And keep your drinks as cold as Alex and I keep ours. Ice meal coolers, the official sponsor of this podcast and this cold as ice segment. And Alex, unfortunately here, we got to put the college football season on ice right now because things, as you led off with, are looking kind of dire.
You tried talking me off the ledge, but at the same time, I'm starting to worry that this is not just a... I feel like the conference-only thing was an alarm. This was basically them saying, yeah, we know we're in trouble. This is what we're going to do for now. But we're either moving to the spring or it's not happening. And the money on the line tells me spring might happen. But logistically, I think they know that's just not realistic.
It's a situation in which everybody's in a holding pattern. And the best thing to do probably right now is to, I mean, some teams are having to, we've seen Ohio State, North Carolina, others had to pause workouts because of a ton of positive tests over the course of the last week or so. But other teams such as, look at Florida State. I don't know, you probably didn't see it, but they posted a video today of a good to have guys back. And it was the Noles on campus doing some work. And I tell you what, hats off to Florida State because they were all masked up, even the players. Odell's got his face shield and his mask on as he's walking out. Norvell's wearing his face shield. And he's barking out instructions, and I'm like, good for you guys. You know, like, set an example, do the thing, be like, listen, we're going to try this thing. We're doing everything in our power to do it the right way, and we're going to see how this works. But, you know, I'm glad Florida State is not, you know, we don't appear on our way to an Oklahoma State-type situation, a guy putting a foot in a mouth anymore at any point going forward. And so I was excited to see a little, even if it was just like dudes – walking out to a field and then Norvell saying, hey, let's climb. And then like, that was it. But it got me a little bit excited today, but it was this double-edged sword of, I'm like, okay, I'm excited because I watched that video. But at the same time, like, we don't know what the schedule is going to look like. We don't know when they're going to be allowed to do anything more than just like run these conditioning drills, any of that stuff. It's wild. Did you see the Oakley face shield that has come out, by the way?
I did see that. It looks pretty good. Very nondescript. Doesn't seem very intrusive or claustrophobic for the players, in my opinion, because you still have plenty of airflow from the bottom, but it's going to block. And for those of you that have not seen it, along the face mask, it's basically the visor that Oakley puts for people's eyes down in between the bars on the face mask. I think that's as good a starting point as we've had so far.
It's going to be hot inside that thing. I don't know if you've ever worn a helmet with a visor on it. I, like a sweet guy, briefly had a visor on my helmet.
Well, I remember.
It was the helmet I was, for those that were wondering at home, we went and were just literally handed helmets by our D-line coach in high school. And he was like, try this on. If it fits, it's yours. And he handed me one that happened to have a visor already on it because the previous user had put it on for like medical things and then like quit football and just left it on the helmet, and which is interesting because it was a nice Oakley visor and everything. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is sick. I'm going to rock it. And I went, I don't even know if I lasted a week. It was hot. It was hot. It fogged up in the mornings because it was so humid. And so like I would breathe and it would just fog and I couldn't see out of it. So yeah, that's part
not
of my
desirable.
No, so like on a rainy day, I'd be a little concerned with like, how are they going to keep these things clear? You know, that type of thing. But
well, their breath especially. So I haven't read enough on it yet. Saw the article and I saw the pictures, but wouldn't you imagine part of that technology? If you and I are thinking about it, I promise you Oakley is doing some kind of anti-fog glass somehow spray. There has to be. I mean,
Like Rain-X for the helmets or something, like fog be gone.
Exactly.
I don't know.
They got to have something.
But it's a good, I think it's a positive step because it is something that can be a better safety thing, especially for the dudes in the trenches.
At least it makes sense, unlike the NFL saying, no more jersey swaps, because you can play in a game and tackle each other and in mid-game hold a ball, throw a ball, catch a ball, lick your finger to throw the ball. But after the game, God forbid, you get in within 6 yards of each other and swap jerseys.
Right.
Then we're drawing the line there.
It's one of those things that makes sense if everything else wasn't already coexisting with it.
Exactly.
Like that would be, it would completely make sense because you don't want to give somebody else something that is covered in your bodily fluids. But the fact that you literally just did something that completely throws that all out the window is, makes it very, very silly. But I'm still, I don't want to say cautiously optimistic because I'm not that anymore, probably. I'm still just waiting, watching, and hoping for the best as we wait and see how this thing shifts out. I mean, we've seen two of the major conferences already go conference-only schedules, and I do want to offer a little clarity on that. I mean, for those wondering at home why, like, it's like, oh, but there are schools in your own state that are way closer than some of the schools in your conference. Well, a lot of the stuff is mostly because of the lack of NCAA overall leadership. And because of that, they have to rely on conference by conference leadership. And so the Big Ten can sit there and say, yeah, we can control everything that the Big Ten schools do, but we can't control what those MAC schools are doing. So like if the MAC schools can't test as much as the Big Ten schools can because of money, because it's expensive, then I can see why the Big Ten's like, I'm sorry, Ohio. I'm sorry, Akron. I'm sorry, Bowling Green. We just can't play you guys because we don't know. We don't know if that's putting our players in the safest position possible. So that's the biggest reason why they're doing this, because really you can control things on a conference by conference basis. And it gets back to maybe a bigger issue of, is it time for the NCAA to have actually a leadership body at the top? But that's a conversation for a different time, because we can spend a lot of time on that.
Right. Someone who is over everything that says, this is the rule, this is what we're doing. Just like the NFL is waiting on.
Right. A commissioner of sorts. Yeah,
exactly. The commissioner to make the call, as opposed to, you know, Florida State having to wait to see what the ACC is going to allow them to do.
Exactly.
So it's just a whole lot of let's wait and see, which we've been doing for so damn long.
We'll keep doing it.
That's what we do with everything. Exactly.
And we'll just keep doing it. But as of now, it is not dead in the water, unless you're a fan of an Ivy League school or a Patriot League school. But it's teetering. You know, the boat is taking on water. Will it be able to stay floating, or will it capsize? That is the question. And we'll just have to, we'll probably know more by next week, but we'll wait and see. But yeah, right now, College Football on Ice, our Cold as Ice segment brought to you by Ice Mule Coolers. All right, Alex, we got two things here toward the back end of the show. Do you want to go quarantine draft now, rapid fire section at the end, or vice versa?
Let's do rapid fire right now.
Okay, so rapid fire. And this is, what were you calling this at the beginning when we were discussing this segment? We've changed.
We forget our old names. We changed the name
of this segment like 25 times.
Well, but we used to do Scott Manzi's Coast to Coast, but that was just you.
And it was like basketball related stuff too, for the most part.
Oh, that's right. Coast to Coast was when we did the basketball, when football ended and we had to brief people on what happened in college basketball or NBA prior to that. Man, those were simpler times, weren't they?
Yeah, we did 2-minute drills
on
updates.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun. Still having a lot of fun, and we will continue to do that. But I was calling it the sports bar ticker, you know, the bottom line, something like that.
I like that.
Something rapid, something moving constantly on the bottom line.
These are all stories that would show up on the bottom line. And so let's start with this. Daytona International Speedway, as far as part of NASCAR announcing its end of the regular season schedule last week, Daytona will have the summer race, quote unquote, the second Daytona race, the Coke Zero 400. It will take place at an originally scheduled time at the end of August, and it will be the end of the regular season, which is one of the few races that's actually being run in the time it was originally planned to be run this year. But also, in place of the Watkins Glen race, because they're not going to New York right now, they're going to the road course with the Cup Series for the first time at Daytona earlier in August. I think that's going to be fun, don't you?
Yeah, I was interested to see how they're going to do it. Obviously, using the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen it there. It's a new venue. It's something new. We've talked about on past episodes how reinvigorated almost we are as former NASCAR, prior NASCAR fans, to how they're doing it with Wednesday races. I mean, they've caught up now, so we've lost out on that. But yeah,
For this Wednesday, Alex. One final Wednesday race, the All-Star race, is at Bristol this Wednesday night.
I'm so glad you said that. I didn't know that because last week they didn't have one.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Yeah, and it's the All-Star format, so it's a little different, and it's like the heats, and guys are going all out, and
yeah,
could be a wreck fest for all we know.
Tight track, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Scott, I think it's going to be a blast. I'm excited to see what happens, and road courses are never my forte, but they have such a big infield. I'm excited to see what happens there.
The Charlotte Roval, they call it, the track that involves the infield at Charlotte and then runs up onto the regular track at some point. Yep. That has been a good race the last couple of years. So I'm hoping that the Daytona one can be similar.
I'm still
similar
listening.
To that.
I got to plug in my my old trusty laptop right, here laptop as I have 6 minutes remaining.
Taking you inside the business as Alex moves his laptop
over. Just a little
over.
Behind the curtains peek at so how we do. My IT team, a.k.a. me, have to go find my charger.
Okay, well, while you're doing that.
I'm blowing it today. I'm sorry. It just started flashing at me.
Yeah.
Give me 1 minute. You hold them at bay.
1 minute. I will.
The listeners are going to be counting starting now.
I will
now.
Keep talking, yeah. So I've heard from a little birdie, too, that there is initial plans for potentially fans to be in attendance at the Daytona races, too, which seems interesting given everything in the state of Florida right now. Just set an all-time record on Sunday for the most positive tests in one single day in any state in the entire time of this pandemic. But Florida has been plugging along in a lot of things, including Disney reopening and various other things that you would think wouldn't be the case with the way things are going right now. But so it wouldn't shock me, I guess, if they did have fans in attendance at those two races, which are taking place in August, the middle of August and the end of August, the road course being the earlier of the two races. But just NASCAR continuing to get it done and continuing to draw eyeballs and continuing to come up with creative ways to entertain during the course of this thing. So I'm looking forward to just them keeping it fresh. So my next one for you, Alex.
That's right. I'm ready. That's showbiz, baby.
Yes, as he is back. The Jacksonville Jaguars announced late last week that they are officially going with a plan for 25% capacity in TIAA Bank Field this fall, including a whole list of things that they're going to have to do. If you want to go to games, everybody got a refund. You'll at a later date get to reapply for your tickets, stuff like that. If you were a season ticket holder, how likely would you be to reapply for tickets this year?
This year, 0%. It's not worth it because next year you get first priority at your exact seat for the upcoming season. So that'd be the 2021 season then. 0%. Wouldn't be interested in it at all. They're not going to be fielding a good product this year, but if you want to talk in general statements, the NFL overall, I would still be at 0%. I was interested to see the Jags did this for obvious reasons. Baltimore, who is maybe the favorite in the AFC outside of Kansas City, certainly the favorite to challenge them, said they're only going to max out at, 15,000?
Yeah.
They put a number on it, not a percentage, a number. They did 14,000, something like that. And, they're going to – I'd be interested to see how they do filling that because that's not a lot of people. That should be plenty of space in the stadium. I'm just not ready to be out in a crowd like that.
I'm with you. And, this says nothing about what tailgating would – quote unquote look like and how much control they can even have as a team over that kind of stuff. I guarantee there's not gonna be a whole lot of mask wearing at a tailgate if people are doing that, but
yeah, drinking beer and eating, you're not gonna have a mask on.
No, it just feels like it kind of stems back to the whole, is the experience going to be worth it in this crazily different environment. And
so I also was wondering personally, what was the rush for the Jags to come out and say, hey, this is our line in the sand. This is where we stand.
I think it had to do with the fact that they knew with this plan, they had to get people to reapply for the tickets. And so they kind of wanted to get out ahead of that.
For the next season.
Well, no. I mean, everybody had a refund for this season. And then,
right.
And then,
okay.
Like, if you want to buy your ticket, you know, it's a new seating chart and everything like that. So they had to kind of work through this thing. And I just think because the Ravens, they weren't going to be the first team, but like the Ravens already came out and said it. We're going to see other teams come out and say this too. I mean, can you imagine in any world in which a stadium is able to be sat at capacity anytime in the near future? I mean, I can't.
I mean, you think it's hard selling these tickets now for the Jags that weren't fielding a good product? I say now. I mean, prior to this, when they weren't in contention, you saw a lot of empty seats. Picture when the Steelers come in town in November. It's going to – all those tickets are going to be gobbled up by Steelers fans.
Yeah, unless it's all season ticket holders. Who knows? How many single game tickets are actually going to be available? That'll be a good question too.
Well, the third party or secondary markets, whatever they call those.
True, the scalpers, man. Talk about
those are
talk about an industry that's taking a hit this year. Jeez,
that's a tough career to be in if that's what you're in line to do.
No doubt about it. All right, and then lastly here, The Athletic had a piece about NFL stadiums, and it was. Reporters, this wasn't a fan survey. This was reporters that weighed in and voted on the best and worst NFL stadiums. And TIAA Bank Field here in Jacksonville was ranked second to last out of the stadiums that were played in last season. They didn't include the two new stadiums for this year.
Whose was last?
Last, dead last was FedEx Field, the home of the R-Words.
And, yeah. Or the R-Words soon to not be R-Words.
Should I call them the Washington TBDs at this point?
Yeah, so. The to be determined. That's right.
Yeah. So that one was last, but TIAA Bank Field was just barely above that. And largely the consideration was due to, it was two-part. It's one of two stadiums in the NFL that hasn't had a $30 million or more dollar renovation since in the last 25 years. And then there's no relief from the heat. And then we were kind of talking offline about this with our buddy Colin, too, about it. And we agreed. We're like, yeah, it's almost unbearable to go to a game in the month of September in there these days.
Yeah, I mean, our text chain between me, you, and Colin in our little group, we were talking about this article, and I think we really did hit it on the head. All three of us said we've tried going to September games. We all three said we swore them off. We've been offered tickets. Colin has tickets. You've had tickets. And we've turned them down. That right there says something, that your loyal fans aren't willing to go because your game day experience is freaking life-threatening. Like, there's times where I'm like, I'm actually going to die here.
Yeah,
I was buying vodka waters on ice, not even to drink them, to make sure I had, like, something cold and icy to, like, you know, I was scooping the ice out of them to try and survive.
I got sun poisoning at that game last, the season opener
Patriots.
Last year. Yeah, Chiefs game.
Chiefs and, last year, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and I drank five bottles of water during the game, not a lick of alcohol, and still couldn't.
Still got it.
Yeah,
so
still couldn't.
Here's the astonishing number, and correct me on what the Miami Dolphins did number-wise. Was it $500 million?
It was a lot of money.
I think it was $500 million to build their shade rectangle that they did. They're outdoors still. They didn't create a dome. All they did is put $500 million into a struggling team, a struggling stadium, and they had a much improved attendance. And they said it was 20 to 30 degrees different. So we're looking at...
Yeah.
Being in the shade and being hot is doable, you know?
Okay, so it was, how's this for a price tag? $350 million for that renovation. Now, it was to
keep
kind
of... 500 mil.
Yeah, it was to keep it from... they were kind of taking out a lot of the baseball stuff because they didn't need it anymore because the Marlins had moved out. But they put video boards in as well, additional suites, and then the canopy.
So the,
and
the,
reduce
I
the
mean,
capacity
we're talking
by
about
10,000.
The Jags only having to add a canopy. The video boards are immaculate, but right now you put all that money into the video boards. People didn't care about the video boards. That wasn't a priority. When we got them, everyone was super excited. But I think Shad Khan was totally missing the boat on what he's spending his money on.
No doubt.
Make people happier in their seats, and then you can add amenities like that along the way. Little tickers or little NFL red zone in the corner. That's cool. But if I'm at the game, I don't really need that right there where it's so far it might even be hard to see.
Let me end with this. That $350 million renovation, privately funded. So I don't want to hear Shad Khan coming to city council and begging for money from the taxpayers to fund a $500 million renovation that is desperately needed for the stadium. Because if Miami
be
can
less
get
than
it privately funded, oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. But if Miami can get it privately funded, then Shad Khan, the billionaire, who's obviously made a bunch of money because he's good at business, could probably find a way to get this privately funded too.
Well, as Colin said, direct quote, Shad Khan he'll accidentally roll over in bed and find $350 million $350 million under his pillow.
Yes, billionaires buy your own stadiums. That's what I want to say. So, well, let's wrap things here, shall we? Let's get to our quarantine draft for the night. You ready for this one?
Yeah, that's right. I'll get to go first, though, right?
Well, we got to flip the coin. We got to keep it.
No,
we got to keep it. We got
to
keep
I'm
it true.
I'm on a streak
today's...
where I haven't been able to go first in months.
Today's
you
quarantine
tell
draft.
The listeners what we're even drafting.
Exactly. Today's quarantine draft is sports food items, and by that we mean when you're watching a game, what do you like to eat? That can be appetizers, that can be desserts, that can be entrees, that can be whatever it is that you like to have when you're watching a game, whether that's football, whether that's baseball, whether that's basketball. Though I feel like most of our stuff's going to be football related here because it's more of an event, right, when you're watching a football game. But that's our deal today. Sports food that you eat during games. Did you
Heads.
Call it? I'm sorry. It's tails
the
again.
One week I mixed it up.
And with that first overall pick, I'm taking wings because you can't go wrong with wings, whether or not you're making them yourself, whether or not you're grilling them. You can smoke them. You can call up your favorite wing place and get a big order. You can't go wrong with wings. They're a favorite of large groups. It's perfect. You don't have to use utensils. They come in so many different flavors. It's wings
yeah,
are the go-to.
Yeah, you can always get variety. Always. Yeah.
Wings are the go-to and will always be my go-to when it comes to sports foods.
That's an easy number one. So I would agree with you there. Number two, just quick and easy. You can't go wrong with a good old-fashioned burger just stacked up with all your favorite fixings.
It's a good call. And it's another one. You don't need utensils, right? You're just grabbing it. You're eating
just get
it.
Get into it. That's right.
All right, so let's go snake draft this time since you didn't get the first overall pick.
Okay,
so you get to go
I'll
back
take
to
that.
Back.
I have one that I actually really like that I wanted on there. I might be taking it a slot early here, but buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a
you
good
gotta
pick.
Have it. You gotta
Real
have it. And
pick.
I've been on a huge kick with it, whether you make it yourself, little rotisserie chicken, hot sauce, ranch, cheddar cheese, cream cheese all mixed up and baked, or you just go pick up Publix's own. And that and a bag of chips, and you get everyone pleased. It's the best.
It's hard to go wrong with the buffalo chicken dip. That is a great call. A great call. All right, my second pick, excuse me. The little mini pigs in a blanket. You know,
early choice for them.
But it's just like it's easy. It's good.
Some would call that a reach.
Maybe. But I wanted to make sure that they were there. I wanted to make sure I got them. You can dip them in like mustard or something too if you want to, or they're just good on their own in the little crescent rolls. I love those things. They always tend to show up at the George and Vicky tailgate too, which is probably part of the reason why
those
I love them.
Those are always there.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you the one thing about that I think is so clutch of that pick. Is I'm never like craving those to be there. Or if I'm hosting a tailgate, I don't have those there. When someone brings them, I eat 70.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, they're one of those underrated. You're like, oh, pigs in a blanket? Yeah, I'll have one. And you're like, it's like a pistachio. There's no such thing as popping one in your mouth. You have 7 to 10 in one sitting, no doubt.
You just forget how good they are until you eat the first one, and then you eat, like you said, 20. And then yeah. It's like, all right, take these
away.
An
easy 20, too.
Take them away, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, all right, this my third pick here. This is we'll have to decide whether or not this is – am I overstepping boundaries? Do I – when I say chips and dip, do I have to pick a specific dip?
I definitely think you have to pick
okay,
a dip.
All right, I'm going guacamole then.
Oh, okay.
Refreshing, light. If it's a warm day, it feels good to have something kind of cool like that there. It's creamy. Guac, I wasn't really a big guac guy till kind of recently, and I'm all on board now.
I feel like avocados just came out of nowhere. When you were growing up, have you ever had an avocado? Me neither.
No, it was like kale, right? Kale was bought by Pizza Hut to garnish their salad bar.
And I had actually never even heard of kale until I was probably in high school.
Yeah, and now it's...
And I'm not a picky either. I grew up eating tons of stuff. Avocados, I knew what guacamole was, but you just get it at the restaurant. I didn't know it was even something at the stores. And then it just blew up. But that's a good pick there, Scott. Guac is good. I made you go with dip there because you can go with queso. You can go with spinach dip.
There's a lot of different options. You're right.
There really
are. And that would be unfair of me to sit there and claim
them
all.
For me, you said this earlier. It's very football related. I'm picturing this item on a football day. On a basketball day, I think I would go a different direction. So strictly football, I'm going with ribs.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yep.
Ribs.
And they don't need an explanation.
No.
Everyone knows a good rib.
Also, another one you don't have to use utensils for. That's our theme here, I think. If you use a utensil, it's disqualified.
It's tough to use a utensil on a game day because you're walking around.
Right.
You go fix your plate in the kitchen, but you also, what else do you walk up there with? Your beer.
Yeah.
You always walk up there with one hand on the beer, so you have to get back to your seat, and you're always eating it off your lap.
Right. The knife and fork are falling off on the way. Yeah.
Always.
All right, you have one more pick here.
Oh, that's right. We're snaking
your final
pick. Oh, man, this is tough. So I'm picturing on a game day for me, I guess this one's been there so long. I'm going to go brats with the
onions,
required pepper. Onions and peppers.
Peppers, yeah.
And spicy brown mustard.
Now, if
I'm having brats, it's got to be with those on it too. I love brats by themselves. I'm just saying on a game day, you got to do it all. Got to throw them on the grill or in the pan and get it all right.
And that's a versatile one too, because it feels like it fits in at a lot of different sporting events. Like a baseball game is a big brat one. Football can be a brat one. You know, now it makes me want to go to a game and sit there and eat a brat. I miss that now.
I always, even at the Suns games, even at the
shrimp games. Yeah, yeah.
Triple A affiliate Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp game.
Double A.
Double A. God, dog.
That was all of you. All right.
Yeah.
I'm cutting you off.
Yeah. Well, I'm
two
only
beers,
there
too
for
many.
Beer and brats, apparently.
Yeah. Good. That's they have really good brats down at
they
the
do.
Baseball
they really
grounds.
Do.
Yeah. All right. My last pick. And this is one, it's sort of specific to a certain period of time, but I feel like it always works. When you're late seasons, so we're talking playoff push in football or maybe even the playoffs, a good bowl of chili. And I know we said no utensils, but a bowl of chili on first cold football
pick.
Day. Works for basketball too, because basketball, right?
It does.
Cold
always,
weather too.
Yep. In February, Scott, awesome. Awesome.
That's an underrated. I used to go to one of my friends from college, Terry. He had a Super Bowl party every year. And so I went to his house to watch the Super Bowl in college every year. And I mean, they had a spread. Let me tell you, they had a spread. And I would just eat myself. I would just engorge myself in as much food as I possibly could. Cause college kid, not eating great all the time, all this good food, it's free. And his dad made a mean pot of chili and I always had a bowl of that. And we're talking February in Cincinnati, so it's definitely cold. And it was like, yeah, this is hearty. Cold. This is good. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Chili's a great pick. I'm actually upset I didn't think about that earlier. That's a
really
worried. Good one.
I was worried you were going to take it.
Yeah, you can even put the toppings on it and make it good. So how about you say we go through some honorable mentions here?
Honorable mentions, okay. Just chips and salsa. I mean, it's tried and true. It's Mr. Consistency. You know it's going to work.
So
everybody likes it.
Chips and salsa, of course. My mom, every Super Bowl, makes ham sliders. Mm. And they're the ones that I'm sure everyone makes. But she also makes them whenever we have leftover ham. And she puts a mustard glaze with poppy seeds on top and Swiss cheese, ham and Swiss. They're awesome. It's not her recipe. It's just the Hawaiian rolls, the little buns.
Yeah,
you can't beat those.
I've got one more. It's a little off the beaten path here, but those that know, a Skyline chili dip.
I heard Skyline chili sucks.
You either love it or you hate it.
Isn't it very cinnamony?
It has spices in it that are kind of sweeter. But here, okay, we'll put it this way. I brought Skyline chili dip to our holiday party at work 2 years ago, and I didn't take anything home.
Okay.
It was
You already picked chili, though. What kind of bullshit is this?
Well, Skyline chili is not chili.
Cincinnati now.
A whole different thing. It's a whole different thing.
Oh, chili. You said chili.
And I'm talking about a dip. I picked guacamole. That's a dip already. This is a different dip.
What is a chili dip?
It's like a buffalo chicken dip. So it's cream cheese with Skyline chili on top and then just shredded cheddar cheese. And then you put it in the oven so that the cheese melts and heats up the chili.
You just made me think of a seven-layer dip.
Yeah.
The taco dip, basically. Yeah. That's awesome.
Ooh, yeah, that stuff's good,
and that involves a little bit of your salsa, a little bit of your guacamole.
Yeah, some beans.
You know, if you're doing it right.
Some lettuce.
So I feel like people are going to give a shit for not saying pizza or hot dogs. Hot dogs are very similar to brats. I'd take a brat over a hot dog all day. So I want to explain why that was an omission.
Okay.
What do you say about pizza? Do you agree with me? That's not really a game day food. That's like
pizza's when you're being babysat and you get your parents leave $20 behind. Yeah, like pizza, it's lame. That's lame.
So for me, I am a pizza guy during football season on like Thursday night football.
Yeah, you just want something quick and easy.
Yeah, go pick up a pizza. Or that Friday night where there's a late night Pac-12 game. But I'm not picturing pizza on game day. So I just want to make sure if someone's going to come in our mentions about pizza, they know they're wrong.
If I'm going to your house for like we're going to watch games and stuff, and you're like, yeah, we're just ordering pizza, I'm like, what's wrong with you?
You know I always have the grill fired up every Saturday.
Yeah. Because you know how to do it, man. You know how to do it. And
every Saturday.
And when I was living in the house and we had the grill and we entertained people, we had better
That's
stuff
right.
too. We didn't order
I was
pizzas
over there.
Over
for
there.
Many a wing days. That's right.
We were never doing pizza. We do it real. I mean, I don't know. Don't get me started on that.
Pizza's, I just hope we didn't leave anything off. I love all these foods. Keep that in mind.
I know. I mean, there's going to be other things that I'm sure we forgot about. But that's what the mentions are open for. So that's a good reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at sportsbar_pod, where, full disclosure, last week I didn't post the graphic of our quarantine draft because the file got corrupted, and so I had to rebuild it. And that was a pain in the neck. But now I have the file rebuilt, so it's ready to go, and I will fill it out and be able to post it again from the Twitter account. So follow us at sportsbar_pod. You'll see the shows posted on there, funny little video clips, as well as the graphics of our quarantine drafts, and we get good engagement on that, and we're always looking for more followers and things of that nature. So with that, what do you say we put a wrap on this bad boy?
Let's do it. Let's get 1 week closer. By ending this show, we're even saving time, getting closer to the start of the NBA, the start of the MLB, and potentially some more news on college football.
Yep,
hopefully
exactly.
Good news that is.
And Alex, my challenge to you is watch a dang soccer game at some point this week. Turn it on for 10 minutes, dude.
Just tell me to turn on, be like, hey, there's football on channel blank.
Yeah.
And I'll go, no way, there's football? Repeat? Is it live? I don't give a shit. Tell me what channel. I'll log
on.
You're
gonna turn
it
on. You're gonna be like, "Wait,
got me." It was
Seattle
football.
Sounders and Real Salt Lake. I didn't. This is not what I signed up for. But
all right, if you text me, okay. I might try.
All right.
I might.
We're gonna find it out. It's fun. It's sports. All you said was that you wanted live sports to come back, and live sports to come back, and you're like, oh, I'm just waiting for the real ones to come back.
I know. When did I
get moving
so
the goalposts.
I kept telling myself, I'm like, no, anything. I'll watch anything.
No, obviously not.
Yeah.
Obviously not. All right.
You're right.
Well, he's the non-soccer fan, Alex. I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.